Take your Bibles, if you would, and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Last week, after our business meeting, we looked briefly at our purpose as a church, to exalt our great God, to edify the body, to encourage one another, and to evangelize the lost. And let me just kind of recap that for us, and this will just kind of build off of that. But we ought to be Christ-centered, Christ-focused in all that we do. And everything that we do as a church, everything we do as individuals, ought to be to exalt and glorify the Lord. And that ought to govern our worship, that ought to guide our priorities and our methodologies and really affect everything that we do as a church. And we are to edify the body, and that's all of us growing together, growing in Christ, helping each other to grow. We're to encourage one another. We talked about that sense of family as the body of Christ here in this place, and then evangelizing the lost, reaching the world for Christ. And we do that through helping our missionaries and through just faithfully reaching out with the gospel here in this place. As we think about those things, we'll sometimes refer to them, at least the last three, using the word ministry. We're to minister to one another. We're to build one another up. We're to encourage one another. We're to work together to minister to the lost, give the gospel. And so I want us to look briefly tonight at a passage that has to do with our view towards ministry, and one that I trust will challenge us to allow God to use us to an even greater extent here at Marquette. So maybe you look here in 1 Corinthians 16. I'm going to read verses 13 through 18 here at the end of this epistle to the Corinthians. Paul writes in verse 13, "Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity." And you know, let me just pause and make comment on those two verses, and then we'll focus really on verses 15 through 18. But in verse 13 there, he gives four commands that are kind of from a military context, if you will. Now, the first one, watch ye, be on the alert, be ready. Usually when we see that term, it's just in the idea of being ready for the Lord's return. It could come tonight. It could be a long way down the road, but we're to be ready, to be alert, watchful about that. Stand fast in the faith. The idea of holding your ground, not falling away, not wavering, but being steadfast and unmoving and resolved. Then he says, quit you like men. And it's a word that's really kind of built around the Greek word for man. And it is the idea of be a man. And in ancient soldiers, this was a common appeal. And it was kind of like the idea of calling on that soldier to go into battle valiantly and show their manhood, be true to their colors. And so here as Christians, we are to be true to our Christian colors. And then be strong, and just what it says. You know, just obviously the idea of being strong in the Lord. And then verse 14, he balances those more martial type terms with the idea of our lives being governed, especially in our midst as a church, with charity. And that brings us here to verses 15 through 18. So let me read here, starting in verse 15. He says, "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas, and Fortunatus, and Achaicus, and that which has been lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such." Tonight I want us to consider that little expression that we find in these four verses here about being addicted to the ministry. At the end of verse 15, he says of the house of Stephanas, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And so the title of our brief message tonight is this matter of the addicted to ministry. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for the privilege that you give us to serve you together as part of this local church, serve you together as part of the greater body of Christ. We're thankful, Father, for the privilege of going forth, bearing precious seed, going forth to show forth the love of Christ to those about us. We pray, Father, that you would stir our hearts to greater fervency, that we would be watchful, that we would stand firm in the faith, that we would be strong, that we would enter into spiritual battle nobly and fervently, and yet that through it all that charity would govern our relationships one with another and with those about us. Father, might we be people that are addicted to the ministry of the saints, devoted to serving you with all our hearts. Pray that you guide in these thoughts tonight, that it might challenge us in that regard. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll look at just four things tonight. The first observation I would make is that Paul commends those who are addicted to the ministry. Verses 15 and 16, he says, I beseech you, brethren. And then you notice here there's this little parenthetic expression. So he's describing some people here. He says, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. And Paul is commending these folks of the house of Stephanas. And he describes them for us as the first fruits of the church there. These were apparently early and exemplary believers in that church. Whether they were precisely the first ones that Paul saw won to the Lord, or whether they were just some early on, but certainly these were those, as Paul began his ministry there in Corinth, that were among the first to believe and to become then immersed in that church as a fledgling church formed and began to grow, began to have an impact, and they had just been there from the very beginning. And we're told that these were people who had addicted themselves to the ministry. And the word there that the King James renders addicted is a word that is again kind of a military term. It's the idea of putting things in order, setting things in order, arranging them, appointing things with responsibility, ordaining things. And it says that they addicted themselves. This was something of their own initiative. So he put this together and he says they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. We might see that as they've devoted themselves. They have committed themselves. The most common translation of that expression is devoted themselves. And that probably most accurately captures the point. But I do like the King James use of the word addicted, because it suggests a passion and a compelling fervency. These folks are given to serving in a way that they just can't help themselves. It's who they are and it's what they do. And at every turn, they are just serving and they are ministering and they are seeing God's work accomplished in and through their lives. And in that sense, they are addicted to it. And you say, well, what is it that they're doing? Well, it says they're addicted to the ministry of the saints. And the word ministry is a familiar Greek word, diakonia, like our word deacon. It just has that idea of serving. And it's a broad term and it's used broadly here. And so I would see in this that these are people. This is a family that was probably involved in ministry in the full gamut. You know, they're serving, they're cleaning, they are maybe providing their home as a meeting place from time to time. They're supporting financially. They're reaching out to others, probably teaching, maybe preaching, just in general, edifying the body and evangelizing the lost. And some of you perhaps have been involved in church planting work. One of the great privileges that my wife and I had when we first were drawn into Bible-believing churches was to be involved in a small church that had fairly recently been planted. And, you know, if we had 30 on a Sunday, that was a big day. And of those 30, probably better than half of them were under the age of 10. So we were a small, tight-knit group, and those that were a part of it did whatever it took, whatever needed to be done. Our church at that time met, and I may have told you about this before, I don't know, in this body shop attached to another guy's home, and you know, we would go vacuum these people's house, you know, once a week. That was cleaning up our church and getting things ready. And if snow needed to be shoveled, well, somebody shoveled the snow. And hopefully it wasn't the pastor, although he was willing to do whatever needed to be done, whenever it needed to be done. And people were plunged then into opportunities to serve, maybe when they were, like my wife and I, still quite green, still with a lot to learn, but you know, you do what you need to do. And there's an excitement about being involved when things are really on the ground floor like that. And you know, there is a sense of just really being integral to it. And frankly, when we left there, I had a very hard time with the concept of being involved in a church, you know, the size of ours, let alone the size of some some churches in our circles, and the Lord had to remind me that the church in Jerusalem was pretty good size, so that, you know, being a bigger church, being a smaller church, it didn't matter. The point is, we get involved and we see what God would desire to do in and through our lives. And so I picture here in Corinth this household of Stephanas, and they were there from the very beginning and were doing everything, and as folks were saved and brought into the assembly, they continued doing that. And Paul commends the house of Stephanas. He commends them as the first fruits of Achaia, okay, and folks who have, secondly, addicted themselves to the ministry of the state, of the saints. So here's what I think he's commending. He's commending certainly their longevity. They are of the first fruits. They had been there from the very beginning, but longevity alone isn't enough. I mean, you can be a part of a church for years and years and years and be uninvolved. Okay, so longevity is a good thing, but it's not enough. And so not only had these folks been a part of this ministry from the very beginning, but they were addicted to serving. They've been faithful, steady, consistent, committed, just devoted to doing the Lord's work there in whatever capacity. You know, and let me just give as a sidebar, you know, if you think about the context of 1 Corinthians, this is a book written to a church that had lots of problems, lots of divisions, lots of strife, lots of difficulties, and some of the people in the church weren't too keen on the Apostle Paul. And, you know, and my guess is that this household here of Stephanas were folks that had stood by Paul and were burdened for their church, and even though there had been ups and downs and difficulties, they had determined to just stay there, be faithful, be serving, addict themselves to being a blessing to those about them, and just wanting to see things press ahead. And folks, we need to be people like that. We need to be people who just persevere in serving the Lord in the place where He has put us, and doing it with passion and with zeal, such that it would be said of us as it was said of these folks, that they were among the first fruits and they were addicted to the ministry of serving other believers in that church. I would tend to use the expression to describe people like this as all-in people. You know, they're 100%. They don't hold anything back, and they just keep pressing ahead. They are addicted to the ministry of the saints, and they do so of their own initiative. You know, it says they've addicted themselves. It's always a blessing to me to go to someone and say, "Hey, we have this need. Could you help us out?" And have them say, "Sure, Pastor, I'd be glad to do that." You know, but what is an even greater blessing is if someone says, "You know, Pastor, I saw this need, and I think I could help out in this area. Would that be okay?" You know, those aren't hard decisions to make. You know, see a need, there's something there that is appropriate to, and you want to just jump in and take it on. That's a blessing, and that's the kind of folks that these folks were, willing to do whatever they were asked, and I think just looking for opportunities to be a blessing to others, to be a help, to see God's word advance there. So Paul commends those who are devoted to ministry. Secondly, Paul encourages us to follow those who are devoted to ministry. You notice the part we've looked at so far in this first verse here is the part that's in parentheses. But let's look here at the main part of the sentence. So back here in verse 15 it says, "I beseech you, brethren," and I'll for now, right now, leave out the parentheses part. Then in verse 16, "that ye submit yourselves unto such." Such is referring to the folks like the house of Stephanas. "And to everyone that helpeth with us in labor." So Paul says, you know, you remember these people, the house of Stephanas? They're just passionate about serving the Lord. Well, let me encourage you. Let me beseech you that you pay attention to what they're doing. You see what they're doing. You follow their example. You follow their leadership. And as well, others who are like them, who are helpers, who are laborers in the work of the ministry. You know, these are the kinds of folks that should be our examples. Those who are devoted to the ministry of the saints. So Paul commends them. Paul encourages us to follow them. Thirdly, Paul tells us that he is encouraged and refreshed by those who are devoted to ministry. Verses 17 and 18, he says, "I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus." And it's very possible that Fortunatus and Achaicus were part of Stephanas' family, perhaps sons or something like that. Not sure. But these three men have come. And he says, "I am glad at their coming, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. So he says, refreshed. Paul says, they've given rest to my spirit. They've allowed me to recover and regained strength. They brought just a calming to me. In the midst of the burdens of ministry and the challenges of leadership, and in the face of the difficulties that they're aware of in this church, these are men that come to Paul, and in whatever way, they bring him spiritual refreshment. They bring him encouragement. And I think given the context, that a lot of that is because they're just sharing with Paul, hey, here's what's going on, and here's what we're praying about, and here's what we're seeing God do in our midst. And as they share with him the things that God is doing, some difficult things, but many, many positive things, Paul is refreshed. He's encouraged by being around people who are all in, people who are devoted, people who are committed, who are addicted to seeing God's work go forward in a local church. And as a pastor, folks, I am always encouraged to see people devote themselves to serving others here. Melissa had surgery today. And, we had folks asking if they could help. Could they prepare a meal? Could they watch the kids? By the way, just for your information, the kids are up with Melissa's mom and dad right now, and will be for a little while longer anyway. But we've got some folks planning some meals there. And, I'm appreciative of people who have a heart to be a blessing, to minister to the saints, and be sensitive to those kinds of needs and try to meet them. I'm encouraged by that. If I happen to be here at church on a Friday night, or if I go by on a Friday night, I'm always encouraged when I see cars out front. And I know there's faithful folks here that are involved with our RU ministry, and they're helping others in their walk with the Lord. And they're just doing that faithfully every Friday night. I think it's 52 nights a week a year, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, that's a ministry that never takes a break. It just keeps going faithfully. I'm encouraged by things like that. When I see our academy teachers and Sunday school teachers and nursery workers and, just people who are faithfully week by week or day by day involved in their ministries, and I'm still figuring out who all does what, it's an encouragement to me. When I see guys like Brother Jim Dedek and Lynn Keaton and Sam Todd and Phil Burrow and Steve, and they're out keeping the grounds looking, I'm encouraged by things like that. There are just so many things going on, people volunteering in different ways. Those are things that are refreshing to me. And Paul says, these men, they are encouraging, they are refreshing. Next week, Awanas will start in our teen ministry, and there will be folks involved in that in many, many different capacities. And there's a lot of preparation that's gone into it already. So, folks, there's a lot that is going on. There's a lot of folks that are addicted to ministry, that are devoted to doing the work of the Lord here. And that's helping out in the office while we're, downsized a little bit and just coming in and volunteering and helping. And we just have folks doing that. And I shouldn't have started mentioning names because, always leave people out. But those things are a blessing, an encouragement to me as a pastor. I'm encouraged by it. And folks, you should be too. Paul says, I'm glad of their coming, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. We ought to look around at those who minister faithfully among us, and we ought to be refreshed. We ought to be encouraged. And he says at the end of verse 18, therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Recognize that. Folks, one thing that I think doesn't happen enough, and I'll be the first to be guilty of this, is we probably are remiss in just speaking words of encouragement and thankfulness to those about us who minister to us. You go down and you pick your children up from nursery. Do you remember to look at that nursery worker who's just been handling, 12 two-year-olds or four crying babies for the last hour and a half, and say, thank you for loving my son or my daughter. Thank you for changing their diaper. Thank you for, just little things. But, when someone comes up to you and notices something unprompted, that it's an encouragement, right? And men, on Sunday, we'll talk about husbands and wives. And, women are just sitting and waiting for you to come home and notice, right? And men are notoriously not noticers, right? We just are kind of oblivious to things, and they just kind of go on around us, and we don't realize that there has been a new hairstyle or a new room arrangement or something is cleaned that needed to be cleaned or whatever it might be. We don't always notice those things. But it's always an encouragement when somebody takes note of someone's service someone's ministry and expresses appreciation for that. And Paul says here, you know, these folks have refreshed me and they've refreshed you. Acknowledge them. Recognize them. Express your appreciation. Wonder when's the last time that you told your child's Sunday school teacher that you appreciated them faithfully ministering the Word of God to your child? Or when the last time you told your adult class teacher, you know, thank you for your study and for working at this. And we ought to be doing that. We ought to be taking note of the things that the Lord is doing in our midst and the way He's using people, and acknowledge that, recognize that, and encourage them to let them know that, you know, God notices and I notice too. And I am burdened that I would be more sensitive to that. It's so easy for us to just get caught up in our own little whirlwind of life and to be focused on what we're doing and in an appropriate way, and yet lose sight of all the things that God is doing here in our midst and around us. And we ought to recognize that. We ought to acknowledge ye them that are such. So Paul commends those who are devoted to ministry. He encourages us to follow those who are devoted to ministry. Paul himself is encouraged and refreshed by those who are devoted to ministry, and so should we. And my appeal to us tonight is that you would devote or addict yourself to the ministry of the saints. You know, and again, many of you are doing that, but let me just encourage us all to say, you know, am I doing what the Lord would have me to do? The word addicted in our culture usually has a negative connotation. Now, I mentioned our Reformers Unanimous chapter. Well, Brother Currington, here's one of their tracts. It's called Got Addictions, right? Their website is www.gotaddictions.com. And Brother Currington describes RU as a faith-based addiction program, okay? So in our setting, in our culture, we tend to think of addictions in a bad way. And if you don't have any bad addictions, praise the Lord, okay? That's a good thing. But I do think, even if you don't have any addictions I'm sure I'll be misunderstood on this, but please take it in the vein it's given, okay? We could all use an addiction, you know, and that addiction would be that we would be addicted, devoted to the ministry of the saints, that we would be committed, almost compellingly so, to serving one another, to serving the Lord here together as a church. And, you know, there are so many ways that you can have a part. I mentioned last week, I think it was, last Wednesday maybe, or maybe it was last week ago Sunday, I don't remember, but I mentioned about, for example, just the need for somebody to wash the baptismal gowns. And somebody stepped up and said, you know, I'd be willing to do that. And there are lots of just little things, ways for us to serve and just see everybody having a part. I know that Deb could always use help in the nursery. So I encourage you, if you are able and not doing that, you know, talk to Deb and she'll find a slot for you. It won't take her long to find a slot. There are some available to help out in that regard. In the summer, we do neighborhood Bible time. And, you know, we're considering next summer maybe shifting to doing a morning program for the younger kids, an evening program for the teens, and, you know, that'll involve more people being involved. And we're not certain we're going to do that, but very seriously thinking, probably going to do that. You know, and just need folks to step up and say, you know what, I want to help out. There's a need there, and I want to see young people reach with the gospel. I am sure that we always can use more help with Awana, with our various Sunday school classes. You know, maybe starting out as a sub and, you know, giving somebody a break from time to time and eventually, you know, getting to a point of teaching a class regularly. I mean, there are opportunities there, and we want folks to have those opportunities. Brother Tim, who's out at the school camp, I know would gladly take folks in the choir, folks to help out in the orchestra, you know, if you are inclined to minister musically, doing that, visitation. Our numbers on Thursday evenings and the ladies' numbers on Tuesday mornings, we can always use more. If you're able to do that, now maybe not every week, but some weeks, it's a blessing to go out and to encourage one another in that way. And sometimes we need nursery during that time as well. So there's just different ways to serve and be of help. My wife is looking at scheduling some more ladies' ministry opportunities and might need some ladies to be willing to host that. You know, if you'd be willing to do something like that, let my wife know. There are some folks who are burdened that we try to get some bus routes going, you know, and I would suggest we start with a van route, you know, and try to build some interest. But, you know, those are all good and needful things. But what I don't want to do is go to people who are the ones who are already willing to say yes and say, can I put one more thing on your plate? I'd love to have somebody say, I'm burdened to have one more thing put on my plate, or I don't have a lot on my plate, and I'm burdened to put something on it, and, this is something that I believe the Lord might use me in reaching out in the community in that way. Those are good things. And those are the kinds of things that we ought to go before the Lord and say, Lord, would you direct me? Now, some of you are working very, very fervently, and I don't want you to go away feeling guilty and thinking, well, I've got 127 things on my list. I better add number 128. But we all know where the Lord wants us to be involved. And if we all step in the places where He has for us, then everything the Lord wants to have done here will be done. And there'll be, more people coming in. We'll be growing. We'll be reaching folks. But there's got to be that willingness to allow God to direct us. There's need sometimes for cleaning and set up. Some of you have particular skills in the office with computers. Just coming out like to the men's prayer breakfast and being praying, and encouraging one another by your presence. And there's just long, long lists. And at some point, I think I'm going to put together a little list and say, here are some possible ministry areas, just so that we kind of flesh out all the little odds and ends, things that many people don't know about. Brother George Phillips helps out with baptisms, just with getting things set up. And there's just all kinds of little areas where people are doing things, and in some cases where there's some gaps, and we could use some folks to be doing things. And let me encourage us, each one of us, to addict ourselves to the ministry and to be willing as God would prompt us. Not based on me encouraging you or human compulsion, but, saying, Lord, what step should I take? And if everything's right as it ought to be, great. But just being willing to allow God to prompt us and direct us in that regard. And there's just all kinds of incidental things. And let me go back to last week for just a minute here, and we'll wrap up. But it really starts with that idea we talked about last week of establishing a sense of family. Now, this church is a family. Families know each other, and they serve one another, and they share in responsibilities for the common good, if you will. And for Christian families and churches, our labor isn't just for our own benefit or our mutual benefit, but for the glory of God and for the advancing of the cause of Christ. So, we've got all the right reasons to be jumping in and doing what the Lord wants us to do. And a lot of that comes by just feeling more and more a part of the family, by getting to know each other and getting to know everyone. And I may start to sound like a broken record, but I just really want to challenge us. I mean, I am every day thinking of people, and I picture a face and I say, I don't know that person's name. And I want to try to remember to find them and swallow my pride and say, I know you've told me 14 times, but would you tell me one more time your name? And trying to just get that connection with everybody. And we all need to be doing that. And when we see folks, some folks are more shy and more timid. And those of you who are a little bit more outgoing, well, when you see that person that you know is a little bit shy, just draw them in, Just step out there and say, hey, guys, start talking to them and draw them in. They may be a little bit too shy to kind of introduce themselves or step into that circle of acquaintance that they don't really feel a part of. Let's draw each other in. Let's get connected. Let's get to know one another. And as you do that, that gives you then that sense of purpose and passion. This last weekend, family and I went to a football game for a team. It was for the University of Sioux Falls. I've driven through that campus once. I have no particular connection with the University of Sioux Falls. And we drove 550 miles. And University of Sioux Falls was playing Northwestern College, not Northwestern University, another Christian, based school, Northwestern College. And we rooted passionately as I ever am, but, some of my family more passionately than others. We rooted passionately for the University of Sioux Falls. Now, on that entire football field of 120 players, I knew one, and that was my nephew, Dan. And because I had a connection with him, I was all about the University of Sioux Falls in that game, okay? And as we make a connection with each other as a church, that stirs a sense of common purpose and a sense of passion. And we help one another and we kind of encourage one another along to pursue things for the cause of Christ and for the glory of God. And so we were there, and some of you asked if they won. Yes, they have not lost a game since 2007. They were NAIA Division whatever national champs the last 2 years. This year they graduated about two-thirds of their team, had a new coach, so it was uncertain how things were going to go, but they won the game. So we rooted for the winning team not only our nephew, but the winning team. You know, and folks, as we connect together and we share in the cause of Christ, let me assure you of this, we are on the winning team. I mean, there is no doubt. There's no doubt about how all this turns out. No doubt whatsoever. I mean, we're on the winning side. And we just need to encourage one another and have that sense of family so that we root together and we pull together and we say, you know, I see what God is doing here. I want to be a part of that. I want to be on that team. I want to have my share in that. I want to help others. You know, when they say that football is a sport where 22 men desperately in need of a break are being cheered on by, you know, whatever, 45,000 people desperately in need of a workout. You know, but, you know, we want to be a part. You know, you want to help. You see somebody and they're tired and they're weary and you know they're doing a lot and you say, you know what, let me come alongside that brother and help him in his ministry. Let me have a part in that. Let me pick up a little bit of the load. Let me share that burden, that responsibility. And we'll see God's work get done in amazing ways. We've got to have that sense of family and that shared commitment that we would be addicted to the ministry of the saints. That we would be addicted to encouraging one another, helping one another, and just pulling together to see God do all that He wants to do here. So Paul commends those who are devoted to ministry. He encourages us to follow their example. He encourages us to be encouraged, to be refreshed by those about us who are serving faithfully. And then the appeal, let's all of us devote, addict ourselves to the ministry of the saints. Let me close with a text that appears just a few verses earlier in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15:58. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful, Father, that though you call upon us to be faithful and to be devoted and to be committed, that you also remind us that without you, we can do nothing. Father, anything that will be accomplished in this place, anything that you'll accomplish by this people, it will be because we have drawn close to you. We've allowed your Spirit to work in and through our lives. Your Word tells us that Christ lives in us if we are believers. We live by faith. So, Father, I pray that you would give us the faith to submit and to obey, and to say, Lord, would you increase my vision and my passion for the work of God in this place? Father, help us to draw close to one another. Help us to bear one another's burdens while at the same time bearing our own burdens. Help us to pray for one another. Help us to encourage one another, appreciate one another. Lord, might we just have that joy of knowing that we are one in Christ and that we have a part in all the great things that you want to accomplish on this earth while you tarry your coming. Lord, encourage us, challenge us, go with us as we leave this evening. Might we be fervent and passionate for the things you'd have us to do in our lives. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you, and we are...